ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
All of us know the power of the internet to connect people across the world. But there's another type of internet that's designed to optimize the way that millions of machines operate. It's called the Industrial Internet of Things. At UWM, there's a new unit on campus working with dozens of companies to learn how the Internet of Things can make manufacturing more efficient and productive. The Connected Systems Institute recently opened its doors, and its executive director, Mary Bunzel, is our guest today. And also joining us on this edition of UWM Today is Jennifer Abley, Senior Executive Director of Strategic Partnerships at the university. Both have been instrumental in creating the Connected Systems Institute. Welcome, Mary and Jennifer. Good to have you on today's program.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. It's nice to talk to you today.
Mary, let's begin with you. And if you could just expand a bit more on how the Industrial Internet of Things operates. What's the idea behind it?
I'm happy to expand on that, Tom. You know, we have experienced the internet growing as a tool for us to use in when we want to connect with other people at first. And then companies learned it was a great place to do business, so then we were able to connect to companies. The Industrial Internet of Things expands that connection to now equipment and assets that can now communicate very much like people do.
So are they using the same backbone of the internet that we're using for this conversation or when we're off doing our surfing across the web?
Yes. Actually, in fact, all of your searches, even the comments that you make on Twitter or LinkedIn can be analyzed as unstructured text. So companies can monitor those things and find out how the sentiment of consumers is currently about their products or how their things are performing in the market. Well, now manufacturers are starting to learn that they can apply the same sort of sensitivity to their fleet of equipment that they depend on to protect them against risk.
And so do they have to embed special sensors or equipment inside that machine that's making things in order to provide that data stream?
You know, it's an interesting aspect of the evolution of this technology recently because manufacturing equipment has been connected for 20 years. This is not new. There was an Industry 3.0 before Industry 4.0 that connected those equipment. The difference now is that it's bidirectional, and the fact that we can drive actuation based on the findings of what's being sensed in the network. That's really the difference now, is that bidirectional and being able to drive action as a result of that connectivity.
Describe bidirectional. I don't understand that.
Well, let's say, for example, a bearing on a fan blade shaft is getting hot. Eventually, it's going to seize and it's going to stop cooling whatever it was supposed to be cooling. And that could be catastrophic in some industries, you know, think nuclear, right? Or even a patient, right? Heart monitoring, let's say it stops working. You know, how catastrophic is that? So the sensors in this equipment can monitor the conditions that cause failure. And that's where manufacturers are looking to apply their technology inside the four walls of their factory now, turning the power of the internet really to be most effective for inside operations.
Yeah, it's just fascinating how we are all so interconnected as people and now as machines. Jennifer, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. Companies obviously are interested in being profitable and being successful and operating efficiently. So how did you, was it a tough sell to get companies to become connected to the Connected Systems Institute at UWM?
No, it hasn't been a tough sell at all. In fact, we really were fortunate to have one of our local, you know, rock star companies, Rockwell Automation, who was our initial investor in the Connected Systems Institute. They're a real leader in this area in digital manufacturing. And right alongside them, we had Microsoft Corporation. Many people in Milwaukee know that Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, is one of our alums from our College of Engineering and Applied Sciences. And Microsoft made a very hefty investment in this. They're a tech enabler. So if you think of Rockwell, Microsoft, many other tech companies, they're producing the technologies that enable the manufacturers to advance their manufacturing processes. So we have a whole suite of companies who are in that sort of enabler category who have contributed to and participated and engaged with Mary and the rest of her team. We have companies like Eaton, Heartland Business Systems, Cisco, Dell, PTC. We have FANUC, Lab Midwest. We also have a major investment from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. We're very fortunate to have the backing of the state with their one of their strong interests being in digital manufacturing. So we've got a really nice group of companies who've come together to help us put this together, build it out, provide us with equipment, contributions in cash, and subject matter expertise. And it's been working out very well for us. And we expect we'll have more manufacturers coming on soon.
So will the companies be coming in to the Connected Systems Institute to do research on their own particular industries, their own particular operations? Or are they here to train students, since the university is all about educating the next generation of workers? Mary?
I think that it will be a mixture of both, Tom, and it really depends on what the need of the company is, which is really why this is such a great thing for this region. You know, we're designing this facility to meet the needs of, sure, the big guys who have these big visions. We're working with top companies, as Jennifer just listed, common tools in manufacturing everywhere. But there's also the little guys who don't have those tools, right? They need to do it differently. We're going to be equipped to support both of them and help them. And that's really what our goal is to help enable technology adoption in our region as much as we're enabling a workforce. So it's both.
So why UWM? You mentioned Microsoft. I mean, you know, these are Rockwell, huge companies. I imagine that they could have gone anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world to find an academic partner. What is it that UWM had to offer that made the Connected Systems Institute home here on the campus? Jennifer?
Well, I think it was a combination of longstanding relationships and partnerships with these companies, as well as the subject matter expertise of our faculty, and just the longstanding talent pipeline between UWM and the companies. So we have many of our students graduate and go to work for these companies. So I think the combination of those things made UWM a very attractive place, as well as the long manufacturing history here in Milwaukee. It's always been part of our economy, a strong part, and we need to be part of the revolution of that.
So we're talking about the Connected Systems Institute. It's a great name, but it is also representative of a place. There actually is a facility, as you've both alluded to. Let's paint for our listeners a picture of what they would see if they walked into the Connected Systems Institute. First of all, where is it located, Mary?
We're in the east wing of the Golda Meir Library. So we really have a beautiful place on campus, right by the big fountain across from the student union. So there's a lot of traffic walking back and forth. And as they pass by the building sporting proud banners of Connected Systems Institute on the outside, they'll see through the windows our manufacturing test bed, which is a fully functional manufacturing line where we can teach many, many concepts important for advanced manufacturing. If they come inside, they'll first be greeted by all sorts of safety protocols that we have to go through as a safe building operation, and you can be assured that we are exercising 100% what we need to in that area. But when they come in, one of the first things they'll encounter is our collaboration center. And it's fitting because we are the Connected Systems Institute, but it's not just about technology, it's also about connecting people. And so when members come, when members of the community come to CSI, they'll find another group of people like themselves, people passionate in pursuing new solutions, innovation, cool things to play with and experiment with, and they'll find a place to collaborate on it. So,
and you say visitors, it is students. And I must admit, I've been on campus walking across the right past the facility, and I've actually seen groups of students standing outside the window because you have these, everything is all glass, so you could look right in. And it's almost as if you've got fans standing outside watching them operate. But it's not just students that would come in. It is, as Jennifer pointed out, manufacturers, people who run the companies around here, correct?
Absolutely. CEOs will find innovative thought leadership, ideation opportunities with real experts. They can engage their workforce at different levels for different purposes, like maybe it's operational technology, sort of things which protect like the factory floor for security. Or maybe they want to experiment with artificial intelligence, or maybe they like playing with digital twins. Next time you walk by, Tom, I suspect you're going to see a couple of new monitors up on the wall with some really cool imaging that looks like a cartoon playing of the machinery that you just walked by next door. Amazing, right? It's called a digital twin.
Yeah, tell me about a digital twin. You know, define that.
Well, you have a digital twin. I have a digital twin. Jennifer has a digital twin. We all do, because we search for things on the internet. We use the internet in a certain way. And so all of the things, our actions are tracked. We all know that, right? Well, how can our actions and behaviors then be managed and manipulated? And there's all kinds of ethical conversations that are going on around that very topic right now. We're not going to tackle that part at CSI, Tom. We're just going to do our part to try to connect them together and help companies exploit these wonderful new tools in a good way, not a bad way.
So, Jennifer, give me an example of some of the companies that you've helped bring to the Connected Systems Institute. Give an example of a company that wants to improve its manufacturing. How would they be working with the Connected Systems Institute, and how does the new equipment, and it is really an amazing state-of-the-art facility, how does that new equipment help them make stuff better than they are today?
Sure, but first I want to say that I would like to use my digital twin so that I could get twice as much stuff done every day. You know, we're in conversations with a number of manufacturers right now, and I don't want to out any of them before they've signed the documents. But, you know, I think what's really important to know is that probably about 3/4 of manufacturers in the United States right now are not ready for the digital transformation. Some of them have taken steps in that regard, and there are some who are really, you know, disruptors and on the leading edge of that. But the vast majority of America's manufacturers are not there yet. They have a lot to learn. So there's a huge market for institutes like the Connected Systems Institute to help and support those companies. Those numbers go up when you get into the small and medium manufacturers, which is really the bulk of the manufacturers here in Wisconsin. So one of the things that we're doing is working with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to engage those small and medium manufacturers to bring them in, provide them relevant courses and curriculum, workshops, things like that, so that they're able to learn the different types of tools that go into improving their manufacturing operation. I think, you know, once we can start having a higher volume of visits in the facility, hopefully sometime in the coming months, we'll start to see a pretty big traffic, because there's a lot of manufacturers out there who need this support and need this help. And I think we can do that for them.
It's wonderful that you've got the resources here on campus to help them move to that next step, that next stage or level of manufacturing in a more sophisticated or efficient way. But what do they need to have inside their operation back in New Berlin or out in Ozaukee County if they've got an operating machine shop right now? Do they need to do anything different at their home base in order to incorporate the learning that would take place in the Connected Systems Institute?
Actually, no. I think really, the problem with new technology is sometimes it gets misapplied and then it gets a bad reputation, right? So early on in experimentation phases of the industrial Internet of Things, there were a lot of what we call proofs of concepts, POCs, and lots of companies would get caught in what we would call POC purgatory. Because they would just keep experimenting with new technology and they'd be so excited that they could get it to work and great that it did work, but how did it move the organization forward? And so it gained a bad reputation. So smaller business guys say, well, great that technology stuff, but it didn't really do a lot for them. I don't really see a difference for me. So the difference that CSI brings to the table is the fact that we'll educate in that direction. We begin with the story of what is asset management? What does it mean to really manage an asset to maximize its lifestyle or its life cycle? How do we tune our level of investment to the appropriate risk exposure that that asset might create for you? So consider the sensor, the pressure relief valve sensor on the oil well down in the Gulf of Mexico. Such a small little, what was it, a $25 sensor, or maybe it was a couple hundred bucks. The fact is they never tested it. They never pinged it. It didn't work. And look at what happened, right? So we have to start with that risk perspective as we're talking with companies or helping them to learn how to evaluate their own risk exposure and then back into financially measuring if they close that gap or what it would cost to mitigate. And then they can make an effective cost benefit-based decision about where to start with their technology. And only then do we move into the, let's start talking about how to implement an industrial IoT. So that's part of our foundational education. And I consider it absolutely critical to earning back the what's really going to be the inflection point for industrial IoT here, because we've gotten through all of that experimental stuff. We're ready to start inflecting now. So that's what we want to be a part of that.
Yeah, exciting future. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in our virtual studios are Mary Bunzel. Mary is the Executive Director of UWM's new Connected Systems Institute on campus, and with her, Jennifer Abley, the Senior Executive Director of the Strategic Partnership Team at the university. And we're talking about the Connected Systems Institute, an amazing new facility that just opened up that is designed to help companies throughout the area understand how to utilize the industrial Internet of Things to create better processes for making things. Mary, I want to talk a little more about what you're going to find inside the new facility that just opened on campus, because in doing some research, I see that you've developed something called a test bed. So tell me how you could test machines or how information moves from machines. And I think you have some pretty neat examples of the tools that are available for manufacturers who want to get better at what they're doing.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to showcase that, because it really is a jewel here, Tom. The test bed is actually what we would call a vial filling machine. So there's a little test tube vials that travel around in trolleys, and they get filled with liquids of different colors based on a recipe of a product that they receive from a simulated company that we set up in our Lubar School of Business SAP training system. So that system simulates an order, sends it over to the test bed. The test bed starts executing on the order. Well, there's all kinds of lessons that can be learned in that sort of an environment. Since we're dealing with both wet fill and dry fill processes, we can offer a multitude of different mixing method experimentation, which is a really big deal for companies that need to manage fluids, like pharma, food and beverage, oil and gas, chemical companies, paint companies, any company that needs to move fluids around, even the metal industry has some of this flow analysis requirements. So teaching and research opportunities there. Another important part of the test bed is these products travel around on little trolleys. and they're tracked one at a time. So that means I can now manufacture to a lot size of one. That means it's a perfect match of supply and demand. There's absolutely no waste in that process. There's no wasted raw materials, no wasted energy on production, no wasted people skills. It's the perfect match of supply and demand. And in today's situation, we may have specific needs for chain of custody for some things, right? Pharma products or companies that that risk their entire brand on the fact that their products are going to be gluten-free. They need to assure that all their raw materials travel in gluten-free environments as well. Otherwise, they can't guarantee that. And imagine the risk to their brand if people start getting sick, right? So there's risk everywhere, and it can be mitigated with technology. But again, you have to understand where that risk is and start applying it there. So the test bed gives you that opportunity to experiment. Finally, the integrated motion, you know, the traffic control of all of that and integrating the robots. Those are all really unique things about that test bed that we'll be teaching on, which differentiate it from all the other institutes everywhere. It's a unique combination of tool sets. So integrated factory systems, fluid motion, fluid flow control, and integrated motion control are the three very highly specialized areas that we can offer from research and enablement, but also from the opportunity to do other sort of data captures. So,
you know, my head hurts as you describe the complexity of making stuff. I'm not a manufacturing guy. There are a lot of engineers on our campus and certainly a lot of people in the community who make wonderful products and services. And I think for the average person like me, we just take it for granted that somehow all the pieces fall into place. But what you're saying is that it's not just happenstance. It takes a lot of training and a lot of rigor to make sure not only that systems work, but that they're working as efficiently as they possibly can. Jennifer, Mary ticked off a number of different industries that might be beneficiaries of the test bed in the Connected Systems Institute. The companies that you're talking to that are interested in working with the university, has it been difficult to communicate to them that the Connected Systems is now here, or do you have a big PR job, a big education job to let people at these thousands of manufacturing facilities here in the state that they now have another option to find ways of improving the way that they create products?
You know, it hasn't been hard to convince them that they need to do it. They're all aware of it. It's more, where do they start? When you start thinking about all the different elements of the industrial Internet of Things, there's so many different domains that somebody might have to learn in order to implement it effectively. For instance, cybersecurity. We often think about cybersecurity as something that protects us from a hacker coming onto our computer or hacking into our files. But in the operational instance, so when you're in a manufacturing sector, you have OT cybersecurity. And that means that you have to protect all the data that's being transmitted between sensors and systems so that that manufacturing process doesn't get hacked into. So that's a whole different type of cybersecurity that people don't often even think about. So I think, you know, the most common question that we get from our manufacturers who we speak with is, where do we even start with this? And Mary has really done a great job of designing a curriculum as a starting point for that, for digital manufacturing specialists, for people to come in, learn the basics, learn the return on investment, and how to implement this in their business. And we'll be rolling that out right after the new year. So I think, you know, this is a place to start for people so that they can learn more, understand the different facets of the industrial IoT and digital manufacturing, and help figure out how to put themselves on a path forward in it.
That's really exciting. How would a manufacturer connect with you folks? If they're listening to today's program and they say to themselves, you know, this really could help me get ahead of the competition? Do they have to write an application? Can they pick up the phone or send an email and get connected? What's the key that opens the door to the Connected Systems Institute at the university?
All they have to do is join our website, uwm.edu/CSI. There, you'll be able to look at different places where you'll want to connect. Maybe you want to connect with industry leaders, which is a conversation series that you could join into. Maybe you want to explore some of our classes, which will be listed under the events page. And there are ways to connect all over the website. That's the best place. So please look us up there. And also tune into our channels in LinkedIn. We actively post all of our activities. They were very active there. So I hope to see everyone joining. We'd love to have you.
What does success look like 5 years from now? Jennifer, where should the Connected Systems Institute be?
From my perspective, success looks like seeing our regional and state manufacturers move forward on this pathway to their digital transformation. If we can see an uptick in that percentage of manufacturers who are moving along that continuum, I think that would be success for us, and that we played a role, and seeing that we played a role in that would be really gratifying.
And what about for students? How do you know that you've met their needs or expectations to be successful if they choose to work in the manufacturing industry?
That's my view of success, Tom. In addition to what Jennifer just said, you know, I align to her goals, and as we do at all the institutes here, but a special place in my heart to help bring along students, and especially people who need opportunity, minorities, and underserved populations, anything that we can do to move that forward. That's the big measure for me. So I would look for student engagement.
Yeah. And it's so neat that that this work is being done at a university that celebrates diversity and research, those two major missions of the institution. It sounds like the Connected Systems is the perfect home at the university. Well, ladies, thanks you so much. It was really, really fascinating. And I'm always reminded of how much I don't know when I interview people on this program, because it sounds like the Connected Systems Institute is just going to be doing some marvelous work for people both working and operating the many businesses that are tied to manufacturing here in our state. Best of luck to both of you as you continue the good work of the Connected Systems Institute.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. I've enjoyed our talk.
Mary Bunzel, Executive Director of UWM's Connected Systems Institute, and Jennifer Abley, the Senior Executive Director of Strategic Partnerships at the University, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Take care, everybody. We will see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.